Welcome to the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast, where we go over noteworthy news, pop culture, and everything in between. And now, your hosts, Evan and Nicole.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another wonderful week with
Nicole
and myself at We Like to Say We're Experts. This week, we have a very special guest, Casey, and we're going to be reviewing the Oscar-winning film Parasite from 2019.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Really excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being on the show. So we just watched this movie yesterday. We're recording this Monday. We watched it Sunday. Casey, you watched it when it came out, right?
Yep. Yeah, this was one that I actually saw a couple times in theaters with a couple different people. And then I think I saw it right when it came out on Blu-ray. And then I just watched it again yesterday as well.
Nice. What would you say if you were describing this movie to someone who hasn't seen it in a non-spoilery way? How would you describe this film? Because I think I'm having trouble coming up with how to describe it without spoiling it.
Yeah, and I think it's such an interesting movie, and I think that's why it sticks out to me so much. I really hadn't seen anything like it before when I first saw it. I think the best way to kind of simply put it is like a family drama. Obviously, you guys know it's much more than that, but right. I think that's probably the simplest way to put it, because I think a lot of like the natural things that come up in the movie in terms of themes really do pull from kind of those classical family drama themes there.
No, that makes total sense. Yeah, because you see like there's different families, how they're interacting, what's important to them, how their choices kind of play off each other and impact other people's lives. So
I love that description, because I've had a few coworkers at past and present job try to describe it to me, and I've gotten like 15 different, like, it's a mystery, it's a this, it's a that, but none are quite as close as a family drama.
Yeah, that's probably the best description I've heard. I went into it not knowing what it would be, and I was glad that I did, because I feel like if you know what it's going to be about, it kind of spoils a little bit.
Same, all I knew that it was good.
Yeah.
But like a lot of people like it, and I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely went in with kind of the same impression. I mean, I knew that it was getting a lot of talk, and when it first came out, it didn't quite have the Oscar potential or momentum that it ended up having, but I did know that it was super well-liked at the time. So I don't like to watch a lot of trailers now, because they give away so much of the movie. So I'll just go into a movie knowing that generally what it's about and kind of just let it unfold. And I was so glad I did that for this one too.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think a lot of trailers do spoil things or give you like the major plot points now that you see the movie and you're just thinking, okay, I've already seen this before. So that's a huge thing that I think people who make the trailer should change. Because you definitely want to like turn up interest, but I think they're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to try my best to describe this movie with remembering people's names and pronouncing names correctly. So if I mispronounce anything, I'm sure someone will let me know. But we have the Kim family. So there's a father, a mother, and there's a daughter and a son. And they're living in a basement. It's almost like a basement apartment in South Korea. They have low-paying jobs. You can see that they're trying to make ends meet. And the son, one of his friends, introduces him to a wealthier family who's looking to hire an English tutor for their daughter. I think I've gotten that part correct so far.
Yeah.
And then we meet the Park family, who's the richer family. And kind of this starts the process of the Kim family, the sister and the parents getting jobs at the Park house. And so this is like the first half of the movie. And I thought what was really interesting, was you have like, when I say like first half of the movie, so like you start off this premise, we know that the Kim family wants to get jobs at the Park's house. They want to, you know, be able to, make more money. And I kind of thought that was going to be like the plot of the movie, like over like the two and a half hours of the movie. But then halfway through the movie, like they all have jobs. So I was like, where is this going to go? So then we kind of have like a little bit of a twist when we find out that the former housekeeper's husband lives in the basement.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. She knocks on the door when the family's away, but like the people that work there are staying there.
Yeah, that was the wildest thing for me, at least that first half. It's like a snowball where there's, you know, the son becomes the English teacher, and right. then he gets his sister hired, mm-hmm. and then they get, you know, like the driver fired so the father can work, and then lastly the maid fired so the mother can work. So when the maid came back halfway through to like go into the basement area, I thought she just didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really think she left anything behind. So when they like open up that bunker door and then go down into the basement.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I definitely didn't see that any of that coming.
And the one thing I like about that huge reveal there, like they obviously open the door and the rest of the Kim family's like up on the staircase because it's only the mom there. And that first shot right when they open it and then she turns around and looks at the family, that shot is actually like one continuous shot that goes all the way down into that basement. And I think that's such like a great physical representation of the difference in like the social classes there, because like the camera literally brings them down to that lower social class. And then it comes up again later in a couple different shots when it shows the Kim family going back home. It continues to show them like going down steps. So I thought that was just like an expert move by the director there.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot in this movie, like after when I was thinking about it, is there's like a lot of stairs in this movie. So like stairs in the house and the different levels, stairs in the town that the Kim family live in to like go down to like the lower income part of town. So yeah, I thought that was really great cinematography and great directing as well, because it really does make you think about that, like the separation of the two families.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was like one part where the father of the Park family, who's the wealthier family, he was in the car with the father of the Kim family, who was his driver. Or no, I'm sorry, the mother was in the car, and she was talking about how wonderful the rain was and how it opens up the sky and how beautiful it's going to be. But meanwhile, obviously, the rain was horrible for the Kim family. So just, again, playing off, like, the divide between the classes, just things like that.
Wildly different perspectives on, like, any given event. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that continues to stand out. Like if you guys ever go back and rewatch it, it's like those subtle details that he kind of puts in, even when like the family's kind of drinking together in the park house, when they're out on like that mini campy trip or whatever, they were gone for like a couple hours. It's so funny how you can see kind of the greed and the wealth affect them in that moment. And I think it's just such like the subtle details that really stick out there for me.
Yeah, one thing I also noticed in that scene is in that same scene, like when the dad was drinking and talking and he was like looking outside, like that big picturesque window that they have that looks mm-hmm. on like the lawn, and how different that is from like the window that they had in like their basement apartment, and just how like the views like contrast to each other to also show like the differences in where they live. Like there's a lot that I think like the more you watch it, you notice.
I didn't even think of that till right now. Cause yeah, you're in the Park family house, beautiful, like beautiful scenery in the background.
Right.
And then you have their basement apartment, which is man urinating usually.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. No, the director really did an amazing job with this. I actually want to like go and find some of his other movies. Cause I was probably just because like we don't see as much South Korean films here. Mm-hmm. Didn't really know that like he had like a back catalog of movies. So I want to like go and find some of his work now because this was really well done.
Yeah, he's got a couple Korean movies that I haven't seen. One's The Host, which is kind of like a monster scary movie type thing from the early 2000s. But he did Snowpiercer a few years ago.
he did Snowpiercer?
Yeah, which is really interesting.
I love that movie.
I haven't heard of it.
I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but I think it's so interesting to kind of see that movie, which is obviously a big commentary on social class as well. And then having this movie kind of similar themes, but in a much different setting. I think it's interesting to kind of see and compare some of the thematic similarities at least between the two.
What is that movie about?
I've never seen it. It's about classism on a train.
Like train movies that are international movies, because you also watch that zombie movie on a train.
Train to Busan.
Yeah,
train
that
to
was Busan, like a Korean very, movie, very wasn't good. It too?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a theme here with you, Evan.
I'm gonna say I like trains; they're cool.
But yeah, no, I saw that he had like a lot of other films, so I want to go back. I don't know if I'd watch anything scary. I'll leave that to Evan. I'm not a scary movie fan.
I'll do the mini review. Okay, on that. But we should watch Snowpiercer. I think you'd like it.
Yeah,
it
was, definitely check it out.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, Snowpiercer is interesting. And I was looking up on IMDb before we jumped on to see if he was working on any other movies that are coming out. And he's actually just working on the TV show for Snowpiercer right now, which I think is a couple seasons in now. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see him go back to that project and kind of sink deeper.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah, I would definitely check it out. One thing I read about him is he uses a lot of the same cast. So like some of the actors that were in this movie have been in a lot of his other films before or have voiced roles in his films. And I guess, and I don't remember the actor's name, but it was the actor that played the Kim father. I guess he gave him the script first, the director, and was like, if you don't like the script, then I won't go forward with this movie. And I guess that actor like trusted in him so much because he had worked with him before. He's like, no, we're going to do this. Like, we're going to make this film. But I guess like he really just like respected his opinion. It's not just like he's a one man show. Like he looks at his cast as like family.
Yeah, I think that actor's name is Kang Ho Song. But yeah, he was in Snowpiercer and a lot of the other stuff that he's done. So it's interesting to hear that they kind of have that close director actor relationship at this point.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to check that out. We'll have to put that on the list. For sure. I would definitely want to see it. The ending for this movie, not to like jump to the ending, but while it's on my mind, I did not expect this ending at all. I don't know what I thought would come out of this, but just it all kind of coming down on this poor kid's birthday party, who's definitely going to need therapy for the rest of his life. And then I felt so heartbroken when the dad is, so he's living still in the Park's house, and he's communicating with his son via Morse code. I think about that for a second, what that was called. And how he's like, the son's writing the letter of how he's going to like get the house back one day. And like, you know, that's probably not going to happen, but it's just so emotional. I don't know. That ending really got to me. I didn't think I'd be so emotional about it.
The brief what if part was kind of like a little gut wrenching when it rips back to reality.
Yeah. I think it hit back one last time, like the difference between like the two classes in this film, for sure.
Yeah, my first reaction was it kind of reminded me of Inception, like the top spinning at the end, like you really know like what happens, and that's like the last feeling that it leaves you with, kind of that uneasiness. But just out of curiosity, like Evan and Nikki, once that big reveal happens with kind of the maid and her husband in the basement happen, did the movie like speed up for you guys? Because even when I rewatched it now, I actually paused it at that moment. It's just about halfway through the movie, and for me the movie just like takes off at that point, and it feels way shorter even though it's only like halfway through.
Yeah, I definitely felt like it was more fast paced like after the second half of the movie, like that's where more of like the action, and you actually felt like, I don't know, like it felt like tense, like it was just a big thing that could be revealed or caught at any moment by the Parks. Yeah, so it definitely felt like it was going faster for me, sure.
I totally agree. I feel like the first half, I like the whole movie and how it was paced, but the first half was definitely all of the setup, you know, like, as I was saying earlier, you know, like the little snowball, like, I'm getting a job, they're getting a job, they're getting a job, they're getting a job, and like, this happens, and all of a sudden, like, everything about the movie changes almost.
Yeah, it almost felt like it was a house of cards, and at any moment, really could fall apart. And it did feel like it went faster.
I really thought that they were just all going to live in the basement. I don't know if that was like naive of me, but I was like, oh, everybody's just, they're not going to go back to their old like basement apartment. They're just going to live in this basement now.
I don't know what I thought, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets to that point where you kind of are wondering what's going to happen. And then it just catches you so off guard that for me, even like the second time, I couldn't even like fathom any other outcomes than what was happening, because it was like just taking so much to kind of keep up with all the little things that just kept adding up. Like, oh, they're in the basement, and then the family starts to come home and they have that mad scramble and they're trying to like clean everything up. And then the maid falls and hits her head and you don't know if she's okay. It just like keeps leveling up and up. And it was just so tough for me to even like kind of guess what would happen next, because I couldn't even keep up with the pace at that point.
Yeah, and I felt bad for both the Kim family, and I don't remember the name of the original housekeeper, but like herself, her and her husband, because I was like, they're both kind of in the same place where they're lower income, they have crappy situations that they're trying to overcome, and they're just trying to do the best. And I felt torn between like both of them, and I wanted both of them to all like it to be a happy ending at the end, but I figured it probably wouldn't happen. I was like, okay, something is going to happen, but I didn't know what. I knew it wasn't going to wrap up like in a bow at the end. But yeah, I felt bad for the original housekeeper and her husband. And not expecting that there would be a whole bunker this house.
I did pick up the second that the reveal happened and it was found out that her husband was in the basement. I think, what did Mr. Park say? He was in the car and he was like, the old housekeeper like ate enough for two people. And then that sort of clicked. And I was like, okay, that makes sense now.
I totally missed that. I see. Oh, I think I didn't even now pick I want to like. Now I want to like rewatch it because yeah. I bet you there are a lot of those little things that I just missed.
I think it's when the dad gave the like the housemaid card to Mr. Park and like, oh yeah. Like call these people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He kind of sets that up and they have like the little pre-made card that looks really exclusive. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah, like it happened really fast, but I was like, oh. I felt really smart. I was like, okay, I'm putting this together. But then the birthday scene happens, and I was like, I never would have guessed this.
I didn't expect it at all. I think one thing that maybe is still confusing to me, and maybe it's not supposed to make sense, and I'm overthinking this, but when the former housekeeper's husband, like, he comes out of the basement, he takes the knife, and he goes in the backyard, he goes right for the sister, like, mm-hmm. the new art teacher, and I didn't understand why he went for her. Not that anyone should die. That made no sense to me, and I didn't know if you guys had any thoughts on that or if I'm just overthinking it completely.
I think it was more so just, like, she was the first person he saw that he knew was a part of the family.
I gotcha.
And then he kind of, like, holds her hostage. He starts yelling whatever the Kim's family's mother, like, makeshift name was as the maid to try and, yeah. like, bring her out at that point. So I think it was just kind of, like, quick gut reaction. He probably knew he wasn't going to have a lot of time to like mingle about the party the way he was looking, so I think it was just kind of a gut reaction there.
That makes sense. And I wasn't expecting the Kim father to kill the Park father. That escalated out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did feel bad for the Kim father towards the end, because like I know they kept making comments about how smelly they are, and
was it like this, old radishes?
Yeah, or old, and like their situation. And I know that he wasn't meant to hear these things, and he did only hear most of them because he was hiding in the house on it. But I don't know. I felt bad for him. Maybe he shouldn't have killed the other father, but still feel bad. Though. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was just like the buildup of everything. Like the father kind of, the Kim father kind of has like a scene with a couple lines when they're all sleeping in like that gym with all those other people that were displaced mm-hmm. from their houses. He's kind of talking about like nothing matters. Like, you can do whatever you want, like, as long as you don't have a plan, like, it can't get messed up kind of thing, which is really interesting for me to go back and rewatch there, because obviously the one thing that matters to him is, like, the difference in social classes, I think, and I think that's supposed to show there, and kind of going back to that scene, he obviously kind of just kills the Park father in that vein, but, yeah, I don't know if I fully understood that killing until, like, the second or third time I went through there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I keep saying it, but I definitely didn't think it was going to escalate like that at the end. I wasn't expecting that. Not to pivot, but one thing I was reading when I was doing a little bit of research about this movie this morning was that the director, I guess he did a couple interviews where he actually based a lot of this film on experiences he had in his life. I guess when he was younger, he actually was a tutor for a rich couple. I think I didn't say what he taught, but it actually was a huge inspiration for this movie. So I guess it made it feel more real just because he probably lived a lot of these experiences. So I just thought that was interesting. I didn't know that before, or obviously I didn't know that beforehand, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Yeah, I, now seeing it, I definitely understand why it won all those awards at the Oscars in 2019, which people were so upset about. I don't understand why people were so upset that a foreign film won.
Yeah, it was a packed year, and I think like classical film heads always get upset and in arms when Scorsese and Tarantino are outperformed or out-earned in this case. But I think it was so deserving. I think it all boils back down to the screenplay, which it won for. It's just so layered, and it really does have that rewatchability to go back and pick up on those details. So I didn't understand the backlash either. I thought like secretly going into the Oscars, I was like, oh man, Parasite should win this, but I really think the Academy will give it here. So I was glad that they kind of rightfully assigned all those Oscars, in my opinion.
Yeah, now especially seeing it, I agree. And one other thing I read, because you mentioned the screenplay, is that originally the this director and screenwriter didn't know if he was going to make this into a play or make this into a full-length film. And I could actually see this being a play and being just as brilliant, because it really is just about the writing. And, well, not that the acting wasn't amazing, but the writing is, I think, a huge piece of this.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see that in a play format, just because, and it was also nominated for the set direction, production design. I think the set for this movie is super well done. I think the architecture of like that house is really beautiful, and it'd be cool to see that like in a play setting and having this kind of play out live.
Yeah, there was a couple things I was reading earlier as well when I was doing some research into this. Two things I read about the set was, one, the section of town that the Kim family lived in, they actually built that town inside a water tank so it would make it easier to have all the rain come down and have it look like it was actually in the middle of a storm. So I thought that was pretty cool that they actually like just built it inside that. And then the second thing I read was that the Park family house, or the wealthier's family house, was not a two-story house. At like on set, it was actually just a one-story house, and when you look at it from like exterior, if you're looking at it from outside in the movie, I'll have to find the picture, but they made like the top of it with like green screen, and they actually filmed most of the interior shots and everything on the fake second floor just like in a studio. I guess it was actually just like a one-story house. I don't know if that's a house that they found or if they built, but just the work that has to go into that, I don't know, to build a water tank with a village in it and kind of take apart this house into multiple sets. I mean, it's not easy, but it clearly shows in the movie. I can't imagine if they had done differently, especially with all the stairs. Like you said, it just, I don't know, it comes together really nicely.
That's a really clever way of doing it, too.
Yeah, it was just all these things I was reading about that I thought were really interesting.
Yeah, I think, and I think that just house is so striking because it's kind of like one thing that struck me when I think I can't remember his name, the Kim family's son. I think they refer to him as Kevin, his English name, but when he is first about to like enter like that house or the perimeter to go like have his first lesson, they really build it like it's a fortress to like kind of symbolize what feels like that almost like cement ceiling above him and his family class's social standing. And like that first like awakening when he gets inside that house and inside that perimeter is really cool. They really focus on like the greenery there. And they really make it seem kind of like a utopia to him, which I thought was like a really cool just house that they were able to find that and have that kind of perform in that way as well.
Yeah, it's almost like the house is a character. I don't know if that sounds corny, but it's like a background character that without this house, the movie wouldn't be what it is. Like I couldn't imagine it without the way they did it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the house itself just takes on so much like symbolism and so much meaning in a lot of different ways, and like the different areas, obviously with the big reveal of like the bunker underneath, it adds like such a whole other perspective and kind of level to it as well. So yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I've already said it, but now I definitely want to go back and like watch more of his movies, because I think knowing that he put this much work into this movie, I can only imagine that the rest of his movies are just as brilliant. So we're definitely gonna have to check this out. And we'll watch Snowpiercer first.
I was gonna say, I
That's on
thought
Evan's list.
Snowpiercer was good when I was like personally, I was like a dumb college kid, and I was like, oh, this was like shot really good. And back at the time, I mostly watched like action flicks, so yeah,
Yeah.
he definitely has a very good style of how he makes his movies.
And I hope that's something that doesn't change. I feel like sometimes you see that, like, as producers and directors get bigger, like, I hope he stays with how he is now. Does that make sense? Like, I hope he doesn't change his style. I don't need to see that.
I totally agree. Like, because I was somewhat disappointed when I was looking at his IMDb to see that he was just working on that Snowpiercer TV show right now. Because I'd love to see him get back into the obviously feature film space and make like another 2 hour, 2.5 hour about anything. Because I think he would bring just like that expert level that is kind of missing in Hollywood sometimes. I think we only really see it with like a Scorsese or a Christopher Nolan or Quentin Tarantino, and I think he really does kind of bring that level of creativity and kind of insight.
Yeah, and especially now, I feel like it's just like it's a lot of sequels and remakes. To see someone come out with like an original, I mean, and sometimes I like those movies, but to see someone come out with like an original story that really makes you think, I don't know, I feel like it's something that we need.
It's nice to have a movie where I don't know what's gonna happen, which yeah. This movie was like, this movie was fantastic. It was exactly that. This is probably one of the, I can count on one hand the amount of movies I know for a fact I can rewatch and actually they'll hold my attention, and this is probably on there. But yeah, like a lot of movies now are like the Lion King remake, or like the, you know, the Mulan remake, they just know it'll sell, but it's the same story.
Right. Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love every time an Avengers movie comes out, but we always kind of know the bad guy's not going to win every time. So
don't break my heart like that.
No, it's something refreshing. And like you said, I definitely would watch it again. Like I actually want to watch it again and see if there's things that I missed, especially watching it with subtitles. Cause I felt like for me, like I had to focus on the subtitles sometimes to like make sure that I understood what was happening. But now that I know the movie, I'd love to go watch it back and I wouldn't have to focus on that as much. But I'm glad that it wasn't dubbed and it had subtitles, because I feel like it wouldn't have been as good if it was dubbed.
No,
sometimes that takes away.
Agree. Yeah, I think it definitely takes away a little bit more. And for the subtitles, it's definitely distracting. But for me, I think, and Will said this as well, Nikki, when we saw it in theaters, you kind of strike a balance, like 10 to 15 minutes in, you kind of find that rhythm a little bit, or for me, I did anyway. And it kind of makes it easier to take in at that point.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
Totally agree.
Yeah, it's definitely an adjustment, but once you get to it, I really liked it. Like I didn't find myself struggling with it, but I definitely think it's something that would make me want to rewatch it again, because I'm sure there's things that I just naturally miss, like little details.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Get Out screenplay in that sense as well, because that was one where I went back and I picked up on a lot more subtle things like that, and that was not a similar movie, but similar in terms of structure, where there's that huge twist at the end that you weren't expecting, and all the details kind of build towards that.
Yeah, it's a movie I want to see. I haven't seen that movie, and I was spoiled a little bit about what happened, so I'm a little disappointed, but I would still go watch it. Jordan Peele's Get Out. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, and if I was there when it was spoiled, I don't remember.
That's good. It's good to not know, though. I would definitely watch it with you. No. But I think casually I just read something about it. Like it wasn't intentional, but it does take away from it.
I was gonna say, if somebody told us, then my classic not paying attention paid off.
That's okay, Evan. It worked in your favor this time. So we'll leave this as the final question for the night. On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate this movie, Evan?
I would give it, honestly, I'd give it a 5, because it does, for a movie, like it does something not a lot of them do, or it completely holds my attention. You know, like I'm actually invested in all the characters, and I don't know what's going to happen. Like so many movies are predictable. Amen. You know, they usually always follow a formula, like as you were saying, Casey, like there's an Avengers level threat, and then it loses. But this was great because there's like, you find the bait, you know, the basement, you find the dad, the husband down there, you don't know what's gonna happen, and then the rest of it's just a mystery until it ends. And I never would have predicted that. Like it is an absolute thriller.
Yeah,
and I love it. 5 out of 5. 6 out of 5.
That's cheating. That doesn't count.
I can cheat. This is my podcast.
You can do whatever you want. I would say 5 out of 5. I think I've already mentioned all the reasons I love it. I definitely would see this as a play. I know we've talked about that, but because I feel like it's like a two act. It almost feels like it does break down as those two separate stories within the movie. So if that ever became a reality, I would definitely watch that. But yeah, I would say this is a 5 out of 5, and I don't give a lot of movies that. My threshold for it being a really good movie, and my husband will laugh at me, is I often look at my movie a lot or my phone a lot when we're watching movies, and it's just because, not that if I'm not liking the movie, but I know where it's going to go. So I know if I don't look at the TV screen for a minute or two, like, I can pick right back up. And I was just in this the whole time and wasn't looking at my phone, so that's how I know it's a good movie. I know that's not a high threshold, but That's my threshold.
I
I'm
mean,
going with it.
I totally agree. I totally agree with that, Nikki. And there's definitely movies, and we were all kind of talking about it earlier, that you can kind of tell they're falling into a certain formula or structure, and you can sense that 4 or 5 minute lull where you pick up and you text people back or whatever it is you do. But yeah, I would totally agree. This is a definite 5 out of 5 for me. Everything on just like a normal movie watching level, it's super enjoyable. You get super invested with the characters, and then they turn everything on its head and make you question why you like them in the first place. And then even down to like the more advanced things or deeper metaphorical meanings, and even from like the stairs to like the symbolism of the rock itself symbolizing greed and wealth. It's a definite 5 out of 5 for me as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And Evan, is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap it up? We can't do our usual of what we're reviewing next week because we don't know yet. So stay tuned for that surprise.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was gonna sign off with a fun little quip about next week's. How do we? I don't know. I got nothing. That's it.
We'll say stay tuned for that
Let's join
surprise.
us next week, and I hope I don't have a parasite. There we go. I got
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you again, Casey.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining, Casey.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. It was a blast.
Thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to like our Facebook page through our link in the show notes or by searching We Like to Say We're Experts on Facebook. See you next time.